Let's jump into Romans 14 this morning. We've been studying through the book of Romans for several weeks now. I don't know about you, but God has really been speaking to me about some specific things through these passages. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of those difficult chapters for me because, you know, I don't want to offend you, but I want God to offend you. Is that okay for me to say that? That God needs to offend us sometimes by his word. I don't want to offend you as an individual, but I want you to be offended sometimes and go, what should I do with what that just said? Because sometimes we got to step back and we have to hear what the word of God is saying and we need to make some changes. And I will tell you, I am one of those people. I need to make some changes to do better things for the kingdom. We all do. And so I want you to bear with me this morning as we're reading through this. I'm going to read the whole passage and then we're going to break it up this morning. And if you're not a note taker, this may be a good morning to take notes. All right, I'm just going to leave it at that. Let's read together chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters." Everybody say quarreling. I love that word. We don't use that much, but we do a lot of it. Where's my amens? Come on now. We don't use the word much, right? But we do a lot of quarreling. I work with 120-something employees. 90-something% of them ladies, right? I'm just saying, right? I didn't say anything. That's just facts. But we do a lot of quarreling. I'm being careful. I'm being careful. Because men are just as bad, right? Don't say it's not guys. We gossip too. We do. And we need to get better about being leaders rather than followers and falling into quarreling, especially over what this passage says about disputable matters. Verse 2, one person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Listen to that. Not to judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Verse 4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? Listen closely this morning. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Verse 5, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord, and he gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Verse 9, for this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? This is tough stuff this morning, folks. Why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will acknowledge God. Verse 12, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Man, if you want to highlight something this morning, highlight that verse right there. Each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Let us stop. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If for your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. We could take that scripture by itself this morning and have a whole message. Let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean. But if it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble, It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but whoever has doubts if they condemn if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Listen to me this morning. There's some tough scriptures in here. We're going to try to tackle them today, okay? This is not the end all, though. You need to go home and mold this over and read on these passages. So the first thing I want to jump on this morning, if you're writing something down, put hold back judgment on disputable matters. Hold back judgment. First of all, who are we to judge? Who are we to judge? See, here's the thing. I know most of you sitting in this room, but I don't know what's going on inside your mind. I don't know why you did the thing that you did or why you do the things that you do. Just like you don't know the same thing about me. I'm not a mind reader. I don't know if any of you ever do this, but like my wife says, did you do this or do that? And I go like this. I'm like, wait, it's coming. I'm going to get it any minute. Wait, I'm waiting for the message to come through, right? Because I didn't remember it or I didn't hear, right, guys? And that are our excuses. We didn't remember or hear. And I'm waiting for the message to come through. And it didn't get there sometimes. She doesn't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what she's thinking. Communication. But what is a disputable matter this morning? I want to lay this out this morning. The Bible forbids us to pass judgment on matters that are disputable. So let me give you some examples this morning. Some people would say disputable matter is where the Bible is not specifically clear on a subject. I personally believe the Bible is extremely clear on most every subject. Okay? So you can't take just one scripture. You have to tie it together for the whole word. And you can't just say, we talk about this a lot in our church. You can't take one scripture and make a doctrine out of it. What did the whole passage say? What did that whole chapter say? What did that whole book say? But a disputable matter is lots of things. And Paul was specifically speaking this morning about diet and dates. He was talking about diet and dates. And see, in this day and age, some people believe that the Sabbath was on a Saturday and this is all you did. You stopped everything you're doing and you just quit and you worship the Lord. Then other people use Sundays, just like today. There's religions that they worship on Saturdays. And just like we're doing this morning, we're worshiping on Sunday. Here's what Paul said. Why does it matter? Isn't that what he just said? Why does it matter? He said if that person holds that day as holy for the kingdom of God, then why does that matter? Because they're doing it for the Lord. But they also had all these kind of rules. Don't eat this kind of meat. Don't do this and don't do that. Anybody know anybody like that? Don't do this. Don't do that. Everything's wrong. And there's all these groups that believe that you shouldn't do things or shouldn't do that. And the problem is, as believers this morning, church, what we have become so often to the lost is this giant group of rules. That's what we've become. We've become like when people come to a church, they just think, oh, I don't know if I want to be a part of that because everything I do is wrong. And that's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible's saying this morning that we should be careful about the things that we do. But if it's okay and that's not against your conscience, what you believe in and what God's called you to do, then what is that my business? What is that my business? Now, there's some things that we know we shouldn't do. Anything that tears down our bodies, right? Anything that's detrimental to us. But I will tell you, one of the worst things I see happen in the church, we talk about people who smoke. We talk about people who drink while we're putting a half pound of butter on one biscuit. Right? I didn't hear any amens. I didn't see, right? And I love some biscuits and I love some butter, right? And I put syrup on top of the butter and biscuit, if you've ever been to Cracker Barrel with me. Right? But see, we're bad about pointing out this other thing. Oh, can you believe they drink wine? I saw them. They had a glass of wine. And here we are sitting there, with 5 pounds of mashed potatoes and a pound of gravy. What's the difference? What's the difference? And listen, I'm not here to talk about doctrine and all the... What I'm saying to you this morning is this. Don't pass judgment on your brothers. God's not called us to judge. God has called us to love and to serve and to walk in faith and grace. Listen, I need all the grace I can get just to make it day to day. Just to make it day to day. Who was right and who was wrong? It doesn't matter. Men, I'm going to give you a story. Listen to me closely. It was an elderly man, was giving a young man who was about to get married some advice. And he said to him, you may have heard this. He said, you can do one of two things. You can be right, or you can be what? Happy. Right? You can be right, or you can be happy. Decide which one you want to be. And I know that's a joke this morning, but let's think about this morning. We don't always have to be right. God didn't call you to be right. God called you to follow his law and his word and to share the light and the love of Jesus Christ everywhere you go. It's not about being right. It's about being faithful to the kingdom. Listen, one of the things that happens so much in church, we're fussing about things that just don't matter. How many times we take communion a month? I had someone not too long ago ask me, why don't y'all take communion every Sunday? I said, well, we do it pretty much like every other week. Sometimes we do it back to back. Well, you should do it every Sunday. Okay. What do you say? Sorry, I think, right? I don't know what to say. Why does that matter? We're observing the Lord's elements, and we do it often, and we celebrate what God has done. But why is that an issue? Why is that an issue? We want to get in arguments about the Holy Spirit, whether it's for today or for yesterday. What does that matter? Truthfully, y'all, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, what does the rest of it matter? These are not things that prohibit salvation. As a believer, we should be having conversation, but we shouldn't be fussing about it. And knocking down our brother because they believe or not. Or baptism. Did you get sprinkled? Did you get dunked? I need to know. Right? What does it matter? I always throw this one out there. If you ever had that, I said, well, what do you do for someone who's handicapped? That just changes the whole thing, doesn't it? Because listen, I've been a part of a baptism with someone in a wheelchair. We couldn't get them into the baptismal tank. But a 5-gallon bucket did the number, and God was just as happy about the celebration as they were. Listen to me, church, it's not about disputable matters and things that are nonsense. It's about following Christ in everything that we do and being faithful to people, being faithful to share righteousness to them and to make sure that we're not out yay-yaying about all the stuff that really just doesn't matter. Listen, the world doesn't need another negative Nelly. The world doesn't need any more obstacles. They need believers that are faithful, who are going to preach the word and stand there and be faithful alongside of them in their difficulty, demonstrating the life and love of Jesus Christ. That's what the world needs. But see, all these issues, it didn't start yesterday. Paul was writing about this thousands of years ago. Because the church was even divided in, because there were things going on that people didn't necessarily believe in, or they thought that should be happening, that weren't happening. But why are we arguing and wasting our time rather than binding together and doing kingdom work? Listen, church, if you're in that thing this morning, I challenge you. Stop judging. Stop questioning. Get in there and work as hard as you are about thinking about all the things that need to be fixed. Get in there and work. Take that effort and move it towards work. Listen, do you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? That's the essential question of life. That's the question. And that's what we should be propagating this morning. The second thing this morning, write this down. Avoid looking down on those who don't share your convictions. Think about that for a moment. Avoid looking down on those who don't share your convictions. Remember that whole part we just said? You don't have to be right all the time. It's okay. It's okay. But there are other people who don't look at things the same way you do. And what Paul's saying in this passage is this. There's one who's strong in the faith that understands that they're free from legalistic constraints. They're free. They're set free. There's others who cannot. They're not there yet. They're not there yet. Let me give an example. Like, we don't do things in front of people that we know struggle with issues. Okay? Like, if we know people have, like, addictive personalities, we don't put them in situations where they could be tempted. That's just good, sound advice. Right? Don't put them in a situation. But for others, we may not show. Listen, I don't have an addictive personality to anything. It's just not in me. It's just not. Well, maybe to food. I am addicted to food. All right, I'll be honest about that. Desserts, just desserts. I'm addicted to desserts. But like drinking and drugs, and I'm going to tell you, my thought has always been, we were talking about this at work this week. Someone was talking about, you know, when I was younger, I did this. I've never done a drug in my life that wasn't prescribed, ever. And they're like, really? I didn't realize that was that abnormal. And I was like, yeah, I've never done it. And they're like, you're lying. I'm like, I'm serious. I don't have that. I never have. My thought was, I need every brain cell God has given me. right? Anybody besides Ivan? I need every one of them. Probably a few more, right? But I don't have that. I don't have that struggle. But other people do. So I have to be conscientious about that and make sure that we're not doing things that would cause them to be tempted. You know, if we know our brother is an alcoholic, then we don't invite them to our house and break out the wine. That's just not good advice. That's not smart. We have to be careful about making sure that we're leading people the right way and we're not causing them to stumble. But we don't look down on others because they're weak in faith. We don't look down on them. They're just a babe in Christ. They'll get it one day. They're not like us. They're not as holy as us yet. They're just a babe. Pardon them. Wow, condescending, spewing things that really aren't biblical and not demonstrating love. Listen, we weren't all sitting in the situation that we're sitting in today. We were all new in the faith at one point. We were all babes in Christ. We were all trying to find our path and trying to find the will of God for our lives. All of us have been there. We got to grab these babies and pull them along with us, these new people to the faith. And we got to show them the way. And we got to use our testimony and what God has done in our lives, but point them in that direction. Not to judge them because they're immature in the faith. Listen, we've all been there. We've all been there. We get this strange satisfaction sometimes from thinking that we're so much further along or better than someone else. Listen, we don't need to turn our nose up at them. We need to get on our knees beside them, asking God to move in their lives and move them forward. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us to live out our convictions, not to live out our opinions. Let me say that again this morning. We need the Holy Spirit to convict us to live out the things that God has put in our hearts, not to live out our opinions. Our opinions are not what matters. The Word of God is what matters. And we should be propagating that in the lives of other people. Listen to me this morning, church. We're all accepted by God through His grace. Every one of us. In our sin, we were horrible. But God poured grace out upon us. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, He looks at us and goes, "They're mine. They're mine. I've done the work for them. They're mine." He doesn't hold those things in the past against us. So let's not hold opinions about others that would cause them to fall or to stumble. Next thing this morning, Paul addresses in chapter 14, 5 to 12. He says that we have to realize this morning that we must live for the Lord alone. So I want to ask you this question this morning. What are you living for? Who are you living for? Are you living for yourself? Are you living for your spouse? Are you living for your children? Are you living for a cause? Who are you living for? And I will tell you, as a parent of a 16-year-old and an 8-year-old, man, it's hard to get, you get in this thing, you're living for your children. Anybody know what I'm talking about, parents? I mean, our lives become so surrounded in what they're doing. But sometimes we have to step back and say, hang on now, we got to slow down a little bit. Because what should be dictating our lives is that we're living for the Lord alone, and that everything we do in this life is pointing us more towards the kingdom and a closer walk with Him. Now, that doesn't mean we don't enjoy the things of life. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this morning, you were created to live for the King. You were created to walk with God. All this other stuff is just a side benefit. You were created to walk with God, and that should be your priority, and that should be your focus. You ever got halfway involved in something and lose your focus? Me too. And then I have to ask whoever's there, what was I doing, right? Anybody besides me? Or in a conversation. I want to share a story with you. I'm not a big golf fan, but I do like Arnold Palmer. In 1961, he was in the Masters tournament. And if you're a golf fan, you might already know this story. And he had one stroke lead. And he had just hit a shot. They were at the end of the course. And all he had to do was put the ball in the hole. And this was his. It was wrapped up. And he shared the story that as he was coming up to the green, he looked over to the gallery. He saw an old friend of his standing there in the crowd. In golf, if you're not a golf fan, gallery means people watching on the side. So they're standing there. I didn't know that either until a little while back. I'm not a golf fan either. I can't be a golf and be a Christian. I'm sorry, okay? But this is a great story. So he looks over and sees his friend, and he tells the story that the friend waves him over. And so he walks over and shakes the guy's hand. And the guy says to him, congratulations. And he shared later on that the minute he put his hand in his friend's hand and the guy said, congratulations, he knew he'd messed up. Because he had lost his focus. And if you know anything about that 1961 story, he hit a shot, should have been easy, went out, got into a bunker, then he had to hit another shot, then another shot, and it led to his demise. And he lost the tournament, which was his, it was in his hands. But what happened is along the way, as he was going towards the focus, towards the goal, he saw something to the side that captured his attention. And he followed up with it. How many times have we done that? We've all done it. If we're honest this morning, we've all done it. But he's sharing in this story that if he would have just held his focus, the win would have been in his hands. Listen to me this morning, church. Our lives are the same way. The win is within grasp for us to do the things that God has called us to and to walk in our purpose and to exercise the purposes of God in our lives. But so many times, we let one little thing distract us and get our focus. Listen, we're not on the purpose on this earth this morning just to live a life and to just exist and to have some friends and then we die and we move on. It's not what we're here for. But you're also not here to just enjoy embellishment, to just enjoy this time and have a great time. And so when you live, you can say, it was fun. Had a great time. I'm out. You're not here for that either. Listen, you're here this morning to live for the King. You're here this morning to propagate the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves. That Jesus loves every person the same. And he desires for them to come to him. And to know forgiveness, repentance, and to find hope. Listen, Paul wrote this. If we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. Many of you may have saw this week. There was a news reporter. Did anybody see he announced this week on the news somewhere upstate that he has a tumor that they can do nothing with? I think he's 51 years old. And he has 4 to 6 months to live. And he announced it on air. And what was so amazing is this is what the guy said. I have 4 to 6 months, but I know that whatever happens, that I can trust God through the situation. He used this platform to not get distracted by what was going on in his own life, but to continue to point people to the kingdom of God. Man, you want to talk about amazing? He was sitting there saying in front of thousands and hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people in this camera, that my life is coming to a close in 4 to 6 months, but I know that God will be faithful through this. Listen to me, church. That's if we die for the Lord. If we live for the Lord. And keeping our focus about our purpose. And our purpose is to point people to the kingdom of God. Man, what a testimony today. What a testimony. You know, Arnold Palmer's old friend may have been offended if Arnold hadn't walked over and shook his hand. But how would history have been rewritten if he had kept his focus? This morning I ask you the same. Are you fulfilling your purpose in kingdom living? Man, how would the history of your life, how will it be written if you stay focused on that purpose? God's calling you to stay purposely focused this morning. The next thing I want to talk about is this. Don't put obstacles in the ways of others. Don't put obstacles. Verses 13 through 18 is talking about obstacles. And one of the slogans we have here around Bayside Church is don't let it be an obstacle, but let it be an opportunity. But how many times have we as Christians been an obstacle for someone else? We should all just raise both hands this morning. Because we've all been there. And here's the thing. Sometimes you may not even realize that something you're doing or something you're saying or the way you're living is an obstacle for someone else. Because you don't know what's going on in their mind. You don't know what's going on in their heart. And you don't know all their struggles. But that's why we have to stay so in tune to the Holy Spirit in prayer. That God will reveal to us the things that we need to work on and the things that we need to change and how we can influence other people that are around us. Listen, you never know. You never know. Listen, God's called us this morning to walk in freedom. To walk in the freedom of his word, the freedom of his blessings. But he's called us also to be careful about how we impact people around us. To be careful. Where are my strong personality people this morning? Raise your hand this morning. Strong person, thank you. Honest folks. The rest of you, God's going to deal with it. He knows. One of the things I've had to learn in my life is when it's just time to be quiet. I know you're thinking, you need to practice, right? But listen to me, church. Here's why. When you have a strong faith and strong opinions, sometimes we just have to share it. But sometimes what is best is just for you to listen and to be quiet. I'm going to say that again. Many times we have strong opinions and we want to get those things out there. But sometimes we need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying and just be quiet. Just be present. Just be present. Listen, I'm learning as I get older. And I've shared this with you before. So many times in conversations, I have the 10 answers already laid out before the conversation even gets started. My mind works that way. I'm always ahead. But here's the problem, guys. When we're not listening, we don't know what we're missing. And people come in. I have this happen weekly. People come in and sit down in my office, and they start sharing. I had a lady with me last week. She brought her daughter in and said, "Would you pray with my daughter?" She said, "We've lost 4 family members in the last 3 months. Would you pray with us this morning?" And you know, I was ecstatic. But if I'd have jumped up and went, "Hey, so glad to see y'all this morning. What's going on? Hey, I know you're doing this." But I didn't. I just said, "Hey, what can I help you with this morning?" And I sat there and I listened. And she began to pour out her heart about the loss that they've been experiencing, how difficult it's been to walk. And when she finished, I said, "I'm going to pray for you, not just this morning, but I'm going to pray for you every day. And I want you to know that God is going to be faithful to you. Man, I know it's difficult right now, but God is going to be faithful." But if I'd have jumped up and had all these answers, all she needed was for me to listen. To listen. Listen, church, we got to be careful about throwing our opinions. And I know Facebook is a wonderful tool if used appropriately. Right? It's a fantastic tool. But it is not the place that we, number one, should be blasting other believers. Because listen, I saw somebody's post this week and they were just blasting something a pastor said or something this. And I'm looking down, there's 691 followers. That's all seeing the same thing. And listen to me, church. I was grieved because I looked at it and went, I know good and well that all 691 of those people are not believers. And what they see is Christians squabbling about something that really doesn't even matter in the overall scheme of things. It just doesn't even matter. We got to be careful about throwing out and projecting these opinions. Listen, exercise your freedom in Christ. God has blessed you. Walk in His freedom. Walk in His grace. But be careful that we're not causing other Christians to stumble or that we're a block in the way of what God is trying to do. Listen, I can tell you this morning, my words have said things. I've said things in my words that have hurt people. I've probably done things and I've asked for forgiveness. I've recently went to people and asked for forgiveness. If I've hurt you, forgive me. Listen, we need to be people that practice forgiveness in our own lives. In our own lives. Go to our brothers. If I've offended you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Will you help me? And listen, as we grow as believers, this should become more rare and more rare. What God is saying to you this morning is this: you have strong faith, you've got great freedom. Maybe this morning you have weak faith, you have smaller freedom. Neither one's better than the other. It's the same. What Paul is saying is this: both are people of faith. Both serve the Master Jesus Christ. It's not one or the other, it's both. Listen to me this morning, church. Do everything we can to push the gospel and not to hinder it. Next thing this morning is this: only do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Only do what leads to peace and mutual edification. This is 14, 19 through 21. Listen, the last thing we need is the lack of harmony, especially among the church. Romans 12 and 18, Paul said this: if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Let me say it again. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I will tell you this morning, church, it's possible. It's possible. And you say, well, hang on now. You don't know that person I work with. Obviously, you've never met my boss, Ivan, all right? I know you may think that this morning. But listen, Paul's writing and reminding us that it's possible to live at peace. It's possible to be a peacemaker. It's possible. It's possible. But are you doing it this morning? Are you walking in the peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ? And are you spreading that everywhere you go? Or are you a person that someone may say this morning, man, I'm glad to see him come, but I'm even more glad to see him go? Right? What would others say about us this morning? What would our coworkers say? What would our own family members say about us? Man, I'm sure glad to see him come. Whoo, I'm excited to see him go. Man, listen, that's not a compliment. And what God is saying to you this morning is this: we should be people of peace everywhere we go. On our jobs, we should be walking in harmony. And we should be a bridge between people. Man, if someone's got an issue, let's do everything we can to work it out. People of peace. Listen, guys, if you watch the news lately, the world doesn't need any more trouble. The world doesn't need any more problems. It has plenty of its own. What the world needs is people like you and I who will go out and keep the peace. What the world needs is people like you and I who will be careful to edify others for the kingdom. What does mutual edification even mean? What does it mean? It means it's mutual. Jared and I do everything we can to edify one another. Even though he's wearing a gator shirt, I still love him. I'm edifying him, right? And he tolerates me, knowing that I've graduated from Florida State. He tolerates me, right? Mutual edification. We're friends. I mean, we're helping one another. I know I can call Jared and he's going to pray for me. And Jared knows I can call, he can call me and I'm going to pray for him. We mutually edify one another and we live at peace together. And we do everything to have peace between us. And if there's a problem, I go to Jared and say, Jared, I'm sorry. If there's a problem, he comes to me and says, hey man, did this happen? And I want us to talk. We talk through things and work through things. And we mutually edify one another and lift each other up. Listen, in a room this size, there's always issues. Listen, guys, there's always going to be a problem. Someone's going to accidentally offend you. They didn't mean it. But if it was that tough, call them to the side and say, I just want to share, this happened. This happened, and I don't know why it's bothered me so much, but would you pray with me about this? And let's work through it. Let's work through it. Instead of sitting here and the other one sits on the side, and we walk in the same room for 10 years and we never speak. That's not mutually edification. That's not mutually edifying one another. And God has called us to do it, to lift one another up and to live in peace together. And I got ahead of myself a while ago. I want to share this. I'm getting to the end this morning. And the next one is never publicize your personal convictions. Don't personalize and publicize your personal convictions. And that's what I mean. When we get on Facebook or we get on Instagram, we're putting all this stuff out there. What does Paul tell us? He says that these matters of conviction are between you and God. And what's a conviction that Jerry may have may not be the conviction that I have. then God may not have dealt with me about that. But he may be dealing with Jared about it. So I don't have to go to Jared and say, hey, well, whatever, that's up to you. That's not my business. But it's also not my business to publicize all the things that God has called me to be personal in. And publicize our business. Listen, sometimes, we've already said this, it's just better to be quiet. And you don't have to justify everything you do to everyone else. See, we feel like in this day and age, we need to have an excuse of why we do things. And that's not what God's saying to us this morning. He said, all of us have things that I've called them to. He's even said this, to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. To work out your salvation. That every one of us are working on our own salvation. But listen, there's no need to post it on Instagram. There's no need to write about it on Facebook. Some things are just called to be personal and to follow God in those things. So we should ask ourselves some questions. So we look at this passage this morning. Just a few questions today. Number one, are the things I'm doing beneficial to others? That's a great question to write down this morning. How I live my life, is it beneficial to others? A great question to ask this morning is this. Am I living for the kingdom of God, or am I living for something else? Am I living for the kingdom? Am I propagating the gospel, or am I doing something else? And the last question you can ask is, if I'm doing any of these things and I'm not, how can I start today? How can I start today? Listen, here's what I want you to walk away with this morning. Live for the kingdom. Get up every day with the kingdom in mind. When your feet touch the floor, stand up and say, man, what a great day to be alive. God, what can I do for you today? I have shared this with you over and over. Every morning when I'm praying with my 8-year-old, we get close to school and we pray, and we pray for people who are having issues. We close our prayer with this every single day. God, let us do something great for you today. Let us do something great. And I'm not just instilling in my daughter that she can do something great for the kingdom. I'm encouraging myself. I'm edifying myself. I'm reminding myself that I can do something today for the kingdom of God if I have it in my focus. Listen, you can do something great for the kingdom. Live for the kingdom. Second thing, whatever you do, do it for God. Do it with all your heart and all your might. Do it for God. And let people know that you're doing it for God. Share about the good things of God. Not just personalizing your business on Facebook, but share about the blessings of God and what God is doing in your life. Live at peace. If you didn't write that down, write it down. Live at peace. Be a peacemaker. Do whatever it takes to be a peacemaker. I was sharing with someone this week that about a situation, and he was in a situation, and I've recently been in a situation, and I said to him, I went to this person and I said to them, I'm sorry if I've hurt you. But here's the thing, I don't believe that I did anything wrong. But I still went to them and I said, I am sorry if I have hurt you. You know why? Because I'm called to be a peacemaker. And so are you this morning, church. It's your job to get out there and make peace. I mean, some of you are having issues with family members. Some of you are having issues with relationships. You're called to make peace right where you are, or at least try. Listen, they may not be receptive on the other end, but it's your job to try. It's your job to do your part, to live at peace. Two more things this morning. Don't push your opinions on others. Listen, opinions come and go. You think about this. When you're a young person, how many things do you still adhere to that you might have preached when you were young? How many things do you still believe in when you were 16, 17, 18? As you mature, you're 40, 45, old. How many things do you still even adhere to? Listen, opinions come, opinions go. Don't push them onto other people. And last, man, make sure you're not a stumbling block to your brother. Man, God has called us to edify the kingdom. God has called us to edify our brother and sister, not to be a stumbling block. Not to be a stumbling block. And listen, you don't always have to be right. We've already said, you don't always have to be. Don't be a stumbling block. God has called you to walk in peace with your brother. Listen, as you go this week, I challenge you, go home today. We just hit the surface of Romans 14. Sit down, read it verse by verse, highlight it, underline it, think about what the text is saying. Ask God, how can I apply this to my life? God, right where I'm sitting right now today, how can I apply your word to my life? God, am I doing anything that would be a detriment to the kingdom? If I am, show me this morning, Lord, and help me to change it. Let's pray together.